Well, greetings everybody and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. And joining us here at the League Express Towers to hopefully settle your nerves for this week, we're joined by Mr. Alex Davis.
Hello.
Matthew Shaw is here.
Howdy.
And Aaron Bauer is back, everybody.
Hello.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to this week's show, as well as the customary preview for this weekend's huge fixtures in Super League, Championship and League One. Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Whitehaven director Andrew Canavan to talk about Whitehaven winning League One this season.
Quality achievement.
Very, very impressive. But before we get to that, there is only one place we can start.
Warrington against Leeds.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I don't as the presenter of this show, I'm sat here with the fixtures in front of me, and I'm like going, where do we start with this? Should we get the games that don't really matter that much out of the way?
Are we even going to bother discussing them?
It's just a shame Hull v St Helens is on the Friday, because if it was on the Thursday, that'd be very, very helpful, I think. For
yeah.
But anyway, let's start with Thursday then. We'll start with Thursday. Wigan against Castleford.
Alex.
Well, if Castleford perform as they did last week, then they've got a chance. But obviously, if they lose, then it might not matter.
I go back to a show we did about 3 weeks ago, and we were talking about what Castleford needs to do to get themselves in pole position. Last game of the regular season, they're in pole position. They can't let it drop now, can they?
Well, it's kind of out of their hands, really. Wigan's a tough game to win.
It's not.
Wigan's a tough game to win, but Hull, if they can win at home, then it's theirs, I think.
To summarise this, I think that if Hull can beat St Helens on Friday, they'll be in the playoffs, but I don't expect that to happen.
I think Castleford have a bigger chance of beating Wigan than Hull do of beating Saints.
Well, then you're confident Castleford will get in the playoffs then?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I think Castleford will finish fifth, but only because they'll both lose.
And I'll be honest, I think if Cass finish fifth, given the circumstances of the year, I think that's a good return.
Interestingly enough, I think if Cass do win, then it could be back-to-back Wigan-Cass games.
How do Wigan attack this game? Because they're not 100% in second.
No, they need to win. If they lose, they could finish fourth.
Daryl Powell said it a few weeks ago after they beat Huddersfield that their final three games were perfect for them because it'll battle harden them for the playoffs itself. And for Wigan, this is exactly the same. You know, they are in the playoffs, but they want that second spot. You get the extra life, you get the home game first time out. So
they absolutely need to win.
They treat it like a playoff game.
They absolutely. If they come fourth, it's a massive error from them.
Yeah, because they lose the extra life as such. So,
and for Castleford, like you said, with the season they've had, which has been a bit of a roller coaster, for them to be in fifth position at this stage.
Oh, absolutely. They've not had Luke Gale for the entire season. Michael Shenton's been out for half of it. Those are two huge players. And there's others thrown in there as well. So for them to make the playoffs would be a really good achievement,
I
think.
I agree.
Now, I was debating this on the way up here, whether I was going to get predictions and then we would have a group discussion about those predictions and then work out what the final table was. As a collective.
Why not?
Yeah.
Teamwork,
that kind of thing. Can anyone see Castleford winning this game?
No.
Aaron? Alex?
They've got a chance.
Alex obviously can.
I don't think it's as clear-cut as everyone thinks, but if they play like they did against Hull last week, they've got a chance of winning.
You're outvoted, my friend. That's plus two for Wigan right there. Okay.
But to be honest, I would go Wigan as well.
Oh, well, hang on. It's a clean sweep then. Alex has turned against his own team in their hour of need.
Okay,
unbelievable.
Okay, right.
Alex, so what next?
What next? The journey continues, everyone. Hull against St Helens on Friday.
St Helens.
Let's not discuss it.
Now, Wigan, if this committee here that's met, and we all know committees make accurate predictions all the time.
We're going to prorogue this committee.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how next week goes. But when it comes to, obviously, if Wigan do Hull a favour, can Hull capitalise at home to St Helens?
I might be wrong with this stat, but I've seen it a few places. I think Hull have won 17 of their last 40 home games, which is quite incredible, really. And Adam Pearson's made the point in a very good interview in the Hull Daily Mail today that I think outside of Hull, they've only lost at Magic, St Helens and Castleford last week. You know, they've only lost outside of Hull three times.
So why does it feel like they've gone backwards a bit in the last few weeks?
Because they can't get their home form right. They just cannot get their home form whatsoever.
Have they gone backwards this year? Because if we go back to January when everyone were making the predictions, not many were tipping Hull to make the five. I think a lot of people had them 7th, 8th.
They've not gone backwards from February, but they've probably gone backwards from June when they were third and looking very good. Yeah. And I don't think you can legislate.
We had them nailed on, didn't we?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
I think they're only going to finish where people anticipated they would at the start of the year.
I thought they would have bounced back from Bolton and losing in the semis stronger. They've lost five in a row since, or one, they think they've won one of five since then. They're not going to make it now, unfortunately. And it's a shame for guys like Mark Minicello, who's finishing, Mickey Payer's finishing as well. So they've got a lot of guys leaving at the end of the season. I think.
Would Jake Connor leave?
No. I think Adam Pearson is realistic in what he's saying, in the sense of the expectations probably weren't to finish in the top five this year, but next year, 100%, with the recruitment they've done and the money they've spent, they've got to be in the top five next year.
Jake Connor definitely is one of those players that has the most impact on that team, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with him if I was Hull.
Oh, I think you've got to keep him. I think his talent outweighs his temperament, I think. But on Friday, I suspect they will have the door slightly ajar for them, because I think Castleford will get beat, but
surely that's enough to get them over the line.
Not with St. Helens have got the week off. I think they're going to want to go strong. They're going to want to put a big performance in to say, look, we're ready for the playoffs. I don't think they'll want to go in leaving people out when they've got a two-week break, so there's no danger of that. They'll be as strong as they possibly can be. I think they'll be too good for Hull, unfortunately.
We should say, while we're talking about St. Helens, a big congratulations to Johnny Lomax, who won the Albert Goldfarb medal. And also, while we're talking about St. Helens, Christian Wolfe.
Yes.
He's going to be the head coach next season.
Warrington are definitely going to do something with that, aren't they?
As should Toronto, if they get promoted.
Mm-hmm. What do we make of that appointment there? Is it a good appointment? Is it what you were expecting? Or
yeah, I think so. I know he's interim coach of Newcastle at the minute, isn't he? But he's a coach who's unproven in the sense of first-grade coaching at club level. I know he's done a very, very good job with Tonga. The head coaching job in either Super League or the NRL felt like the logical next step for him. I think he's got the makings of a good appointment. We won't know until he gets going, but in terms of succeeding Justin Holbrook, I think it was probably where most people were expecting Saints to go.
He's been interim head coach at Newcastle Knights. How's he been getting on?
Well, he's only had one game, I think.
How's he been getting on?
Well, it didn't go particularly well for them, to be honest. They've missed out on the playoffs.
He's
done a wonderful job with Tonga, hasn't he?
But he seems to have, I mean, the players are boycotting or threatening to boycott the Great Britain Tests because they try to oust him as Tonga head coach.
The key thing that he did with Tonga was get players to play for them. Yeah. Andrew Fifita and Jason Tamalolo.
You look at it from a recruitment point of view, I mean, they've got, bizarrely, they've got one of the more open quota positions in Super League. They don't use many of the quota spots. They have got spare, so in terms of recruiting players, he knows that field better than you would say an English coach was. And this year will be a low-key recruitment for them. I don't think they'll do much, if anything. But next year, they'll probably have some more room, and that will work in his favour.
And Johnny Lomax winning the Albert Goldfarb, that's I think, pretty much deserved, isn't it?
As soon as
a couple of players got injured during the season, it was a clear run, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's judged on consistency, isn't it? Who's the most consistent player across the 29 weeks? And I think it's fair to say, you struggle to think of one who's had a more consistent, consistently excellent season as well than Johnny Lomax. I think worthy winner, yeah, definitely.
I think it's a massive thing for him in the sense that, you know, he's been riddled with injuries in his career. For him to play enough games and play at that level to win an award like the Albert Goldfarb is a big thing for him. Given
that move from fullback to standoff doesn't always work, but it certainly has with him.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, later in the show, we should say we're going to be looking at the shortlist for the Rookie of the Year, which is quite a hotly contested nominee list this season. But speaking of head coaches, Christian Wolfe obviously going to St Helens next season. Staying at Leeds, Richard Agar. And I can say no one around this table predicted that, because all the way through the season, since Richard Agar has taken that post, everyone said he doesn't want the
he's
job.
Had his fooled.
On his own words.
He's had his
words.
Fooled.
Not my words, Ben. The words of Top Gear magazine.
Have they dragged him kicking and screaming then to the hot seat?
No, of course they haven't. No, he's fooled us all. But, you know, I think they had no choice but to give him it for at least a year, because he's completed the job that he was tasked with, which was getting Leeds away from the bottom. They're not going to get relegated. So I think he then needs to be given an off-season to make some tweaks to the squad, which they've got the room to make some tweaks, by the way, because Ablett's announced he's retiring. Jones Buchanan's retiring. Ferris is likely going to go.
Ferris has said on Instagram he's there next year.
Well,
are you on Instagram?
I am.
Well, there you go. But they're going to have some room. But anyway, yeah. Agar, good appointment, I think.
Well, I didn't get a prediction for the Hull St Helens game.
St Helens.
St Helens.
Does it matter, though? Does it?
You didn't ask if it mattered.
No, I mean, could it matter if Wigan beat Castleford and leave the door?
Of course
it could. Would that kick? Okay, right, that's answered that question.
I think if you look at it as well, St Helens have absolutely pummeled Hull all three times they've played.
If you want any motivation, Hull will know whether they need to win or not. If they need to win, then that should be all that they need.
That's a win on Friday,
talk
Thursday.
About the bottom.
Yeah, come on,
no,
Ben.
No,
why,
I'm
why
not
we,
finished.
What are we doing here? Wait.
Sorbet. What this is. Leeds v Warrington. No,
Warrington.
You lot have been going, especially you, Aaron, have been going on about, oh, stop focusing on the bottom of the table. Here we are, last
right, okay,
we've done the regular season.
We've done the race for fifth, correct? We've done the race for fifth.
It's,
right.
it's hotly contested.
Are we really going to dissect Leeds v Warrington?
Well, it could matter.
I'll be honest, I think Leeds are going to win.
I'm going to take Warrington because they've got something to play for. They've got second to play for.
I think Leeds
they?
Are going
to
win.
Warrington for me.
For those people who've not looked on Wikipedia to understand how the playoff system works, explain to us, Aaron, why third is better than fourth.
Because if you finish third, you get effectively, like Matt says, an extra life. You can afford to lose one game. If you finish fourth or fifth, you've got to win every single game to get to the grand final. So second and third, the difference between second and third is not as great as the difference between third and fourth. So whoever finishes fourth out of Wigan, Warrington, Salford is going to be the ones really, really feeling it as opposed to the ones who finished third.
And they'll have a tough game to start.
What do we make of Warrington's second half last week?
Don't know, I didn't see it.
Same.
Okay. I'm just a Salfordian, I'm just throwing it out there as something to be.
Seemingly Wakefield were good.
Genuinely, I think Leeds will win that game. I'm happy to be outvoted, but
okay.
I think Leeds will win that
democracy.
Game.
Six Leeds up to 24.
Does it? Because we both said Warrington.
Yeah, I said Warrington, yeah.
So it keeps Leeds on 22.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Ben, do the numbers.
Oh, sorry, okay. It's a draw then, isn't it? Right, okay.
Oh, have you got Leeds?
No, I don't have anybody.
All right.
Well, Warrington have won then.
Warrington have won.
Are you all right? Okay. You can't have a draw when there's an odd number of people.
It's because of numbers, Matthew. It's all complicated, isn't it?
What are we working with here?
Right, okay. Salford v Hull KR.
Wow, here we go.
Right, let's jump
you.
In. Right, okay.
We're not starting at
We're 12 minutes into the show.
Right.
I think that's fair.
This is the biggest game of the three. Simply because you just do not know what you're going to get from Hull KR. Now, they have shown in recent weeks, Wakefield at home, London at home, that they really, really struggle to handle pressure for whatever reason. However, they are a better side away from home than they are at home. So that gives them a chance, in my opinion. I still don't think they'll win the game because I think Salford, like we've spoken about with Wigan and Warrington, have a hell of a lot to play for. Salford are in no real position to rest anyone. They've not had any injuries all season, so why would they start resting people now? They've won seven in a row. They'll want to keep that run going into the playoffs and make it eight. So Salford are certainly favourites, but bizarrely, I am more confident about Hull KR getting a result than I would be if they were at home. The manner in which they collapse at home is absolutely baffling.
I don't think it matters what Hull KR turn up. They aren't beating Salford.
If they lose, they will go down.
Let's cut the nonsense here. They're not great away from home. They've won more games at home than they have away this season. So if they're not good at home, they're not very good away either.
I have to ask you a question because obviously you've done a story with Tony Smith's comments on the structure and all
I
that.
I'm not a fan of them at all, by the way.
Is that you asking him the question or him?
It was him
out?
In his press conference.
So the question's been asked and he's answered it. So rather than him,
right? Admitting that
because you don't want your head coach to say that.
Yeah,
this stage,
I'm not a fan of that because he moaned and moaned and moaned about the Super 8 system. He came back into the game, said he was refreshed, preferred this system, and now
he's not gone against those comments that he didn't prefer this
system.
No,
but now he's come back and he's in the crunch and he doesn't like this.
Well, it feels like it when it's not going his way.
It feels to me like
the reason why I was asking that question is just to say it's not something that he's on the front foot.
Feels
about.
To me, feels to me like Tony Smith doesn't want relegation. I'd rather just
which
say.
I can understand anyone at the bottom of the table doesn't want, but them's the rules.
Yeah,
get on with it.
Exactly, 100%.
Win the game, lads.
Hull KR will I have to disagree with him, and I don't think it matters. Salford are playing too well. They've got something to play for. Salford will, I think Salford...
Can I just say, we spoke about this jokingly last week, but this is now a reality. I have no interest in who goes down in terms of no bias, but I would absolutely love a scenario. I would absolutely love a scenario where Wakefield and London know that one of Huddersfield and Hull KR are getting battered, and they then play out a Germany-Austria type tactical draw. That would be amazing. If like it's 4-4 and they just both started kicking the ball to each other on the first tackle because they know what's the point.
Would the crowd boo that?
No, because nah, everyone would understand that both teams are safe. They would go ballistic.
They'd love it.
And it goes, and then it's got to go to Golden Point, and then neither team goes for a drop goal. Just 10 minutes of Golden Point with just teams
last
just
minute,
running the ball.
Last minute, London, go for it.
I'd love it.
just we'll focus on the relegation in a second, but while Aaron was talking, I thought he was about to go on a big discussion about Salford getting to the grand final. Brought me bucket out today.
I want Salford to get to the grand final.
Just to say, this isn't in my fancy dress wardrobe. I actually wear
actually
this. Right, anyway. So, just to talk about Salford, because you said Warrington are going to win. Are Salford going to beat Hull KR by enough?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Cause it's very tight, isn't it?
It's, oh, that hate maths.
It's about 13.
13. Yes.
Well,
haven't Salford been winning games by more than that?
Well, last week was the smallest winning margin in a long time, 8 points. Yeah. A long time. But I would suspect if they both win, which I think they're both favourites to win, certainly, I would back Salford to win by a bigger margin. I would think Warrington would have it tougher at Leeds than Salford would have it at home to Hull KR.
I mean, I'm going... I think Salford will finish first because I don't think Warrington will beat Leeds, but...
Yeah. And if they did finish third, I mean, we speak to Andrew Canavan shortly about
Coach
Gary Charlton at Whitehaven, definitely up there for Coach of the Year. Is that enough for Ian Watson to be Coach of the Year, for Salford to finish third?
Are we talking across the three divisions?
Yes. Ian Watson's the Super League Coach of the Year.
James Ford's...
Gary Charlton is the Coach of the Year across all three competitions.
Okay.
Depends if York go up.
And James Ford is a Championship Coach of the Year.
If York go up, I think that would have to be revisited.
James Ford is a Championship Coach of the Year.
Now, because of... So we're saying Hull KR are going to get beat. Is that the committee decision here?
I'm going Salford.
Yeah, I'll go Salford.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. So that leaves Hull KR on 20. Also on 20 points heading into this weekend is Huddersfield Giants. And Catalan Dragons is the kind of ideal team you'd be looking to play at this stage, wouldn't they?
I don't know why.
At home as well.
I don't know why. I have the feeling, and I've felt it for a few weeks, and they keep losing. I get the feeling they've got one performance in them before this season is out.
Catalan's out?
Yes, I do think that. So they're going to get beat by 40 now.
Can I? I'm not arguing. Can you just explain why you think that?
Because
there's
I think there's too much talent.
The law
in
of
that.
Averages. Isn't
yeah. With the amount of talent that's in that squad, I think.
I
just think they have a performance in them somewhere.
If you're going into that game as Catalan, you look at the table, you think we've got absolutely nothing to play for.
Apart from the fact that Bernard Gouache has got the meat cleaver out and he's ready to decapitate some players this off-season.
Imagery.
The interesting thing with that game, it'd be interesting if he plays with Kenny Edwards.
Yeah.
Obviously, on his way to Huddersfield, doesn't want to be out of a job next year. Is he just going
to
like...
To be fair,
we saw it all from Jordan Addo.
Well, Jay Pitts and Alex Walker.
Jay Pitts, that try against Hull KR. Wow.
Yeah, Wakefield were delighted that Jay Pitts got that try on Friday night, let me tell you.
Let's talk about the meat cleaver then. Tony Gigo is off to the Dragons, but not Catalans, obviously, to St. George. Is that an odd one?
Yeah, very odd. Very odd.
Absolutely.
But they obviously like him.
Good luck to the guy, because this time 12 months ago, would anyone have had Ryan Sutton down for getting a contract extension 6 months into his time as an NRL player? Probably not.
But the Dragons have an abundance of fullbacks. They've got one that sits on the bench or in the reserves, and he's probably better than Gigo.
Yeah, well, he's probably going to play.
Is it the right move for Gigo? Because I always thought, watching Catalans when they were good, that they fit together. Like
Gigo was the star player. Yeah.
Tompkins is now
there,
and it's very difficult for him.
I think Catalans have let him down. I thought Bernard Gouache was a bit unfair. I think they let him down by signing Sam Tompkins, because he was playing very well, and that move.
And Sam Tompkins becomes available.
They've never got it right. That's never worked with Gigo and Tompkins.
I think it's probably now or never for Gigo. Good luck to him fair play to him for taking the chance, because he's going to get a good salary. He's going to get a good quality of life. He's going to get to play in the best competition in the world. So for him, I think good luck to him. I'm sure he's disappointed to have left Catalans because, as we've just touched on, last year he was the heartbeat of that team, and for whatever reason, this year the balance of it's completely off. So probably was the right time for him to leave, and probably the right time for Catalans because they can use that cap space and focus on balancing their spine out a little bit more, because it is a little bit lopsided when you've got two very, very good fullbacks and you're lacking some serious quality in the halves.
Not leaving the club, though, is going to be McNamara. He's staying.
Yeah, good.
Is he the man to make these changes and make it right?
I don't
know
if there is a man, Ben, because the club is riddled year in, year out with the same issues. Different players come in, same issues. Different coach came in, same issues.
Why?
Culture.
What does that mean, though? Are we talking about the sunshine and the wine, or what?
Probably. Yeah, a lot of former Catalans players have been very open about the fact that Cannes is like close to like a holiday resort in it in the summer, and I can imagine it is very difficult not to get swept up in that sort of life and that way of living. And I'm not saying the players are deliberately down in tools or whatever, but it's a very different way of life to anything we're used to experiencing. And I can imagine it's very difficult to mould a tight culture and a strict sort of way of going about your business as a club. I can understand the difficulties that come with being in the south of France. I think McNamara is more than deserving of another opportunity to put it right. He won them the cup last year, so I think good luck to him. I really like him as a guy who I've dealt with. I like him as a coach, so I think I think he's the right man, definitely.
Right, let's talk about Huddersfield then.
I don't think they're in this.
At all? You think they're going to win this game against Catalans and it's all going to be all right?
They pull out a performance every now and again, don't they? It's been enough for them. And
well, though, they did do that against Hull.
Is Gaskell going
to
be fit?
Come on, Alex. To be fair to Alex, I absolutely butchered him in week three when he said Huddersfield would go down. And here we are, they could go down the last game of the season. I think you need to back yourself and say Catalans.
No, but I don't think they will in the end. But it's proven my point that they're right in it.
If London get beat, they need a 67 swing. So,
you mean if Wakefield get beat?
No, I mean if London get beat, because they're below. Below Wakefield.
God, they're not going to lose by that many.
So if London, exactly. So they'd have to lose by 67 more than what London lost by.
What's the difference between London and KR?
48, which is still too much. London may as well be on 19.
Yeah, London have to win.
London may as well be on 19.
London have to win.
Yeah.
If London don't win, this is a non-story.
Yeah.
Finally then, just for this bit, who's winning, Huddersfield or Catalans? We need to know.
Catalans are that bad. I've got to go Huddersfield. I just think desperation will get off.
I'm going to take Catalans.
And I'll go Huddersfield.
Okay, so that's 22 for Huddersfield. Huddersfield, everyone, are safe.
Well done, Huddersfield.
Well done. Now, let's
go. Might finish ninth. Not a bad year, that.
Let's go with the final game then to talk about before we move on to the playoffs in the Championship and League One. Wakefield v London, live on telly. Michael Carter said, everyone, stop panicking, remain calm. Remain calm.
How could he say that?
I'll tell you why he can say that, because they've been here twice in the last decade and they've come through the other side of it. That's why he's saying it. That's why. They've got...
Is this the time to remain calm?
Yeah, it absolutely is absolutely the time to remain calm. Yeah. I'll tell you now that the story that's been doing the rounds on Tuesday about Chris Chester has banned his players from social media is a huge over-exaggeration of what he actually said. He just said the playing group have decided, basically, blackout. Just focus on the game. Let's just worry about the game. They haven't. No one's banned anyone from social media. So, Wakefield, I went to see Chris Chester on Tuesday. It's the most relaxed and most upbeat I've seen him in about 2 months. He is unbelievably confident that they won that they won their game that really mattered against Hull KR, and they won it well. And since then, they took the form team in the country, or one of the form teams in the country, in Wigan, to the wire. And then at the wire, they were very, very good by all accounts for a large part of
it
that game.
It sounded like they were lucky to be 16 down at half-time.
Yeah, so the thing with Wakefield is, at the minute, which certainly Huddersfield and Hull KR you can't say, is that Wakefield are playing well. Wakefield are playing well at the minute. Now,
that said,
they haven't lost at home to London since 2003, I think.
They haven't beat London all year.
No, they've let themselves... They're in this position because they've let themselves down against London.
That said...
Just win one of those games and you're safe.
That said, you know, you say they're playing well. I'm not disputing there's been an improvement in form. They still have only won one game in 13.
Yeah. Is it helpful, Wakefield, going into this game, that there's two teams buffering themselves and London?
Yeah, because therefore,
is that helpful, though, or is that a distraction?
No, I think it's helpful. They're 83 points better off than Huddersfield. They're 95 points better off than Hull KR. So a lot of things have to happen for Wakefield to go on Friday night. A lot of things. Specifically, all three teams below them winning, which...
Unlikely.
Unlikely, but not impossible. I have this niggling feeling, however, that London may well get something.
I also believe that London will win this game.
But I think one of the other two will lose, which means Wakefield will be safe.
Can we go back almost 12 months to Toronto v London in the £1 million game? Yeah. How many of those players who played in that game are in this squad?
This was a point. This was a point I was going to make. Thanks, about mate. London.
They've been to the coal face and then they've done it.
They had to win the final game of the regular championship season to make the four. They won. They had to win the final two games of the qualifiers to make the £1 million game. That included playing Salford, by the way, who'd hammered everyone up to that point. They won. They had to win the £1 million game to go up. They won.
They had to win last week.
They had to win last week. They won. Every time London have to win...
They don't seem to feel the pressure.
No. They're the complete opposite to Hull KR.
Yeah, they are.
The complete opposite. When they have to win, they absolutely bottle it. And that's why I think London will win this
game. I am here for a 2-on-1 break in the final minutes. London, 4 points behind.
Alex Walker.
Jay Pitts breaks the line. Signing for Wakefield next year. Alex Walker's in support.
Pass it support.
Does it go in slow motion? They say, what are we going to do here, mate? What are we going to do here? And just like, Pitts just kicks the ball instead of passes it. And then they both rip the London shirts off and they got Wakey shirts on underneath. Like, yes! No, I'm not suggesting that.
There'll be a fine.
I'm sure Wakefield will say that.
Alex, what's your view?
I think, personally, that Wakefield will win, although my vote doesn't count with these two going for London. But I think it will be really, really close, and it'll be the best game.
Tactical draw's my vote.
Tactical draw.
That would be. How long does Golden Point last?
10 minutes, 5 minutes each
way. And it'll be the longest 10 minutes ever. Stop messing about.
Yeah. Alex.
What would the Sky Sports schedulers do at that point?
10 metres out. Love it. 10 metres out in front of the sticks. Drills
Bruff
it
just
into,
kicks
drills
dead.
It into touch.
You'd have to delay Raw, wouldn't they, or something?
Anyway. Oh, what? Don't do that. I have a sneaking feeling that London will get a result. I really do.
Don't get in touch if you like wrestling. I know Raw's not on a Friday night.
Anyway, I like wrestling.
No, I'm saying I said Raw and SmackDown on Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, but SmackDown's moving to Friday soon.
Is it really? Yeah. Now, I've been working this out while you've been talking, and lo and behold, based on our prediction, Seth Helens win the League Leader Shield, so congratulations
I'm sure.
Checks in the post. Wigan will finish second, Salford will finish third, Warrington fourth.
Where have you got that from? Because we said Warrington would win.
Yeah, but points difference.
Because I was never asked. I'm the senior one.
Two people. He nodded. Anyway,
I do think Salford finished third anyway. So
Warrington fourth, Castleford fifth.
And Castleford fifth. And
carry on.
And down the bottom. Mate.
No. There's lots of other teams.
I've not worked out the mid table. Don't do that.
Hull FC will finish sixth. They've got to finish sixth.
Castellan seventh.
They've got to. Leeds eighth. And then
it's Huddersfield, London Broncos, Wakefield, Hull KR.
London finishing 10th.
My God.
Season.
Oh my God.
So
I'm not ready for Friday night.
What I will say is, and I've seen this argument banded about, I think we've argued it a bit on this show. I think the tight nature of the comp proves that we are ready for 14 teams. I think the standard's there. There's no
whipping boys. Isn't there a meet? Are you lot off to some kind of Buffy thing on Monday where Elston's going to be...
Playoff launch.
Yes. Yeah, the playoff launch. Are you expecting any kind of hints about the structures or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Everyone calm down at home.
No.
All I want on Friday night is for it to be settled at least 10 minutes from the end. So
I absolutely strongly disagree.
Got match reports
arrive. Unfortunately, I won't be at Wakefield where all the Nationals will be, but I would love to see all of the Nationals absolutely losing their heads when there's a late rerun.
Most stressful night of my entire working life was the night Leeds won the League Leader Shield at Huddersfield, when I had to write about 10 different match reports in 10 minutes.
So that's our final Super League table. Hope you enjoyed that, and it's been a pleasure having you for the last 28 weeks, hasn't it? Just right. Okay. So do we talk about the playoffs now for Super League, or do we leave that for next week?
No, Championship playoffs. Round one.
Round one of the Championship.
Every
playoffs.
Game live on Sky. First game to lose against York, not on Sky. Good stuff.
It's on our league, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not Sky, though, is it?
Why is it not on Sky? Because of the broadcasting.
Who put the story out? Me. Shameful. Well, it's wrong, isn't it? Because it's not on Sky, is it? Not on Sky, mate.
But it's on the Our League app, so the cameras, it is being...
It's on Sky.
Yeah, but Sky, no, Sky. Yeah, they did.
They said it'd be on Sky.
Well, you said it'd be on Sky.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you said it'd be on Sky.
That's disappointing.
That game's box office, isn't it?
It's got the potential to be a very, very good game. I'm not sure it goes as far as putting it on Sky box office.
No, no, sure. I mean, that's just for over...
I can only assume that if Toulouse play at home again in the playoffs, they won't show that either.
Mm, yeah, possibly.
But they're going to Toronto, which makes...
Are Toronto's games going to be on Sky?
Yeah.
Because they forfeited the last two or three to save the money for...
that's Toronto, they're on Sky.
Right, okay.
Right. All the clubs, like Yorker. Yorker asking why it's not on Sky. Because they also... I don't know. Clubs don't know.
But it's on the Our League app.
Yeah, but it's not Sky then.
But there's a camera there. That's my point. And
I don't know if the Our League feed is good enough.
Yeah, but there's three cameras there.
I don't know if the Our League feed is good enough.
No, it probably isn't.
It needs to be on Sky.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So the qualifying playoff in the Championship, Saturday afternoon, live on the Our League app, Toulouse against the York City Knights.
Probably Toulouse. I think that was a very, very impressive win, albeit controversial at Featherstone on Sunday. Yeah, very controversial, but it was a big win for them. Got them second, didn't it? So I think at home they are probably likely to be too strong for York. However, York have made a habit of proving everyone wrong this season, haven't they? I'd be intrigued to see what sort of approach York go with, because they know they're not going to go out with a defeat. Then they would then have a very big game coming up the week after, wouldn't they, against the winners of Lee and Featherstone. So it'd be interesting to see how strong they go, what they do, but I would probably take to lose just on the basis of them being at home.
I mean, to be fair, there's no Lord's Mayor parade about this, because York beat Halifax.
It was a good game, actually.
I meant that seriously, by the way. It was
actually a decent game. It was the best I've seen Halifax.
I'm sure they would have wanted a harder warm-up for the playoffs, wouldn't they?
It was genuinely the best I've seen Halifax play for a while, that. Having seen the two teams quite a lot this year, I think Toulouse are quite comfortably a better team, but there's something about York that they just seem to...
They win the tight game.
They just seem to find a way.
Look at the difference between the two sides. 1 point, but almost 400 points in that.
Yeah, York win close games, Toulouse slap teams, don't they?
Toulouse have had a few wobbles away from home, but I just don't see it happening on a big stage like this. I'm not sure whether I think Toulouse can go up. I think the fact that they've got that extra life helps them, because I don't think they could have put together three or four in a row at that level. But with that week off, I'm backing up to make the grand final, and given that, I've got to say that they'll beat York.
Okie dokie. Obviously, York then get a second bite at the cherry next week. They'll be playing, whoever loses that Toulouse-York game, they'll be playing the winners of the Lee Centurions against Featherstone Rovers Sunday evening, live on Sky. Woo! Good. What do you think?
I think Featherstone, actually.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I think Featherstone.
I'm going to go home, hopefully. Aye.
Lee are at home, and Lee have recruited a lot of big-time players, really, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Go back to the roots.
They have. However, I watched them against Widnes in the semi-finals of the 1895 Cup. And they didn't seem... they didn't seem to deal with the occasion. Widnes were very good. I just think... I like this Featherstone team. I like them. I know they've got a lot of Leeds players in there, whatever. But I think Chisholm's in it, a real wild card in this whole dynamic. I think he's got the potential to change the game.
Right, badly or...
Yeah, absolutely. But I think if he's on... Featherstone have got a great chance, and I actually think of the three English teams in there, they're the ones I would be most wary of, actually, because I think they do have a performance in them on any given day.
There's a John Duffy side of this as well. Mm. John Duffy's a good coach. He's had success. He did well at Swinton, did quite well at Fev, done a very good job with Lee. But they don't win big games. John Duffy's sides don't win the big games. And, you know, the same was there this time, the semi-final of the 1895 Cup.
Yeah,
they didn't win. Last year, their big game was against Halifax to make the top four. They didn't win, and you've seen this procession. So it's a big game for John Duffy. I just think I'm with Aaron, they play... I like the way they play. I think they've got a good team. Cameron King, is he fit, is he not? That's a big one. Yeah, I'm going a Fev win.
Okay, Alex?
Lee at home.
Okay. So that's the Championship playoffs, and obviously we'll be covering that off because all those games in later weeks will be on Sky as well.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. But let's turn our eyes to League One. And before we get to the playoffs, let's have a big doffing of our caps to Whitehaven, winners of the League Leader Shield. We said perhaps, well, I said perhaps there was a chance Coventry Bears could prove a bit of a banana skin.
72-0.
Pretty comprehensive stuff.
Ben, I think it was you that said it could be a banana skin. I don't think anyone else did.
I just said that. Oh. I said it was me. I'm taking
accountability for his actions. You said every Championship playoff game we're going to be on Sky. Here you are. It's not on Sky. We're looking forward to sitting down on Saturday afternoon and watching Toulouse and York.
Well, you can do it. It's on the Owl League.
I only watch Sky, mate.
Whitehaven, a lot of people were predicting a consolidation year, finishing just outside the playoffs.
Well, there was a big change, big turnover, wasn't there?
But, you know, Gary Charlton and the backroom staff have really pulled out their bag. So, on Wednesday morning, I caught up with the director at Whitehaven. Here's Andrew Canavan to talk about what it's like to win the League Leader Shield in League One.
It's probably certainly exceeded expectations, if I'm totally honest, Ben. We knew we'd put a competitive team together. We knew the coaching staff would get the best out of them, but We were aiming for a playoff player, so to win the league against some teams who have spent far in excess of what we would spend is a good achievement by the lads.
And it's a great achievement for the club, and it can't be, you know, understated just what a transformation has happened there, because towards the end of last season, obviously the club was cutting its cloth accordingly and trying to consolidate as much as they can heading into this season. I mean, how much work has gone into the close season to reshaping the club to what it is now?
Oh, the work's endless. You know, it just goes on and on and on. We've tried to change a lot of things in the club. When I first started working with the board last May, I think everyone's aware of how bad the situation was. Perilous to be exact, if you like. But the work's just non-stop, ongoing. Everyone's trying their best, and obviously what's happened this season has really, really helped us.
As a board of directors, you've got all the challenges of on the pitch plus off the pitch and the commercial side, making sure the recreation ground is up to scratch, the youth pathways that are in place, recruitment. The list is endless, isn't it? So, I mean, these are challenges that all clubs face, but to go from those challenges to getting promoted in the space of 12 to 24 months, that's quite remarkable.
It is. On the field, I think the coaching set up knew we needed fitness and our games based on defence as well. And if you look across, I think we're the lowest conceded against team across the whole divisions. I think it's averaging 14, well, slightly over 14 points a game, which is a credit to the lads for how they've dug in and how they've won and been consistent throughout the whole of the season.
They really have, and that's in part credit to Gary Charlton and his coaching staff as well. I mean, there will be talk now that perhaps Gary Charlton is coach of the year, not just in League One, but in all three divisions. A very understated head coach, very much a part of, you know, a team ethic and all that, but he has been exceptionally good this season.
He has, and he deserves that award. If you look through early season predictions, there's only really ourselves that have gone anywhere further up than where they were predicted. You know, I think we were predicted 6th and 7th, so to finish first is marvellous, and it deserves. Gary and the coaching team deserve all the applause that's coming his way.
A lot of people have suggested, you know, it was a masterstroke to hire somebody who's got those Cumbrian connections, and it's often said, you know, Cumbria is a hotbed of rugby league, but you need a coach to tap into that to make it a success, and he's certainly done that this season.
Yeah, he has. Like I said, Jonty and Macker have also put their 10 bob in as well to get the right players there. We didn't actually sign anyone from the amateur game. You know, a lot of them come either from falling out of the system at Super League clubs or are already either played for us or played for Worthington or Barrow. And actually, we've got the two lads from Askham, one from Millen, but they've been training with professional clubs before or they've been signed onto them. So, you know, we're tapping into the right kind of people who have been through some structures, people who want to better themselves and go on and see how far up the ladder they can actually get.
And obviously as well, I mean, you're looking towards the future now, and we'll get what your plans are for next season shortly. But one, you know, the ambition of the club's clearly there, because, you know, you applied to join the reserve grade competition. Sadly, that didn't happen this season, but hopefully the plans are still on the table. You're talking about, you know, developing those pathways in Cumbria. How key is it now for a successful Whitehaven for the game in Cumbria to reach its full potential?
It's massive. West Cumbria needs a championship club for the lads to look at. The young kids coming through to look at and believe that they want to get there. The club firmly believe that the reserve setup is a strategic part of that, and it's an important part of that. And I'm working with the RFL, and I'll continue to work with the RFL so we get this in place as soon as we can. We need that step up as well. You know, the NCL or even Car League to the championship, it's a massive step. But if you get the young lads in, get them going through the right structure, get them used to the same training, the same intensity, hopefully as the first team squad, then that would help them step up. But in the meantime, we're just going to have to do the best we can.
And I was going to highlight the article in League Express from Morgan Knowles saying scouts need to get up to Cumbria as quickly as possible. You're obviously going to say, don't head up here too fast.
No, I'm all for the kids of the area getting the best opportunities they can. Unfortunately, at the moment, that means they're going away into Super League academies. Newcastle have taken quite a lot, getting quite well with Jordan Robinson and Newcastle there. And as much as it pains me that they go away, then that's what they have to do. They've got to take the opportunities that are there for them. Unfortunately, that's not with any of the Cumbrian clubs at the moment.
But you're looking to change that for the future. What plans are in place to... You know, you as a director, you know, you're going to be there with your 5-year, 10-year plans and all that. The most immediate thing, though, is to do well in Championship, and you know, you'd be following that example of the York City Knights, I'd imagine, or trying to.
Anyone would love to follow that. You know, they've been fantastically well. More or less a part-time team, aren't they? So the best part-time team in the country, the best English team outside the Super League in terms of placings. Anyone would love to follow in that. York are in a melting pot, though. You know, they've got a lot of Super League clubs on the door. I think they've used DR and the loan system well, but heavily this year. It's something that we really can't really do. You ask guys to come up 2.5-3 hours to come to training, to come to games, and then the same back. That isn't feasible for us, but we're looking for a season of consolidation next year and then see where we can push on.
And beyond that, obviously, you know, like we said, reserve grade, hopefully, youth development, hopefully. That obviously, during the season, there's been talk about doing up the recreation ground. All heading in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We're still heading towards trying to secure that last bit of funding for the ground development. That would be massive for the club. That would bring us regular income. Not just that, it would bring the community into the ground and maybe get people used to going back down to the ground on non-match days, which hopefully would then entice them to come down, or more people come down on match days itself. So there's all that going on. I've met with the RFL once since the rejection on the reserves, and we've got plans in place, and we're working towards that, whether that be next season or maybe even after this season, before we can get a fully-fledged reserve side going. Once we've ticked all the boxes, and it is what it is. But when we first tried to get the reserve side set up and decided that was the route we want to go down. It was before the RFL brought in this kind of like license system for them, so kind of took us, well, not so much by surprise, but some of the hoops we had to jump through were just too large for the size of the club we currently are. So it's a lot of work. Hopefully within the next year or two, it will all come to fruition.
And optimistic for the future?
Yeah, we are. The lads that we're staying on, they're all optimistic for next season. They believe they can give the championship a good dig. You know, it's going to be harder, it's going to be longer, there's more games, it's more intense, but they're up for it. They can't wait to get back in trend, to be honest.
Andrew Canavan there, Whitehaven director, joining us here on the Total Rugby League show. Congratulations to everyone at Whitehaven. They're heading to the championship for next season. Also looking to go up to the championship for next season, we've got Newcastle, Doncaster, Hunslet and Workington, and obviously Oldham. Oldham have got the weekend off. Now, let's start with the elimination game. Hunslet v Workington Town.
Hunslet lose a hell of a lot of home games to teams around them in the league.
Every time I've interviewed Hunslet, they always, be a player or Gary says, well, we need to reward the fans.
Yeah, they lose a hell of a lot of home games. They were winning at half time against Oldham on Sunday and then didn't score a point in the second half. That's remarkable, really. Their home form is a concern. I've seen some quotes from Gary Thornton saying that, you know, they have to get it right this weekend, otherwise the season's over.
Well, it is.
Yeah, he's right, obviously. And on that logic, I have a feeling Workington might go there and win, to be honest.
But what about Workington Town? They've not been the most convincing this season.
No.
But you change a coach mid-season. It's never an instant guarantee for success. It sounds like they're going to change the coach again next year. You know, are they going to try and do what Whitehaven have done and go local? It sounds like it. They're in a bit of a funny place, aren't they, Workington? I think you'd be very surprised if they came all the way through the playoffs and won, especially how they were heavily beaten at home to Doncaster on Sunday. So I think, really, that'd be horrible. It's going to be a struggle for whoever wins this game to go deep into the playoffs, isn't it? But, yeah, it's a strange year for Workington because they looked well-placed to have a real good go this year and then, for whatever reason, it's not happened.
Well, whoever wins that game will be taking on the losers of Newcastle Thunder against Doncaster. Doncaster finishing the regular season off with a win at Workington Town. Newcastle, obviously, just a couple of crucial defeats in the season.
A slow start, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they headed up to Cougar Park on the weekend and beat them. Newcastle against Doncaster. Obviously, I think we're safe in saying that Newcastle are the favourites, but Doncaster have been here before and surely have got the experience now for Richard Horn's got the experience.
Yeah, they have. I think it was big for them to get that win on Sunday because it guaranteed them fourth, which is equivalent of third in Super League, and it gets you the extra life and the second bite of the cherry. So that was a big thing for them. It'll be a struggle for them at Newcastle. Newcastle are heavy favourites, I would suspect, and I would back them to go on and take on Oldham next week for that first place in the final. But Doncaster of the three outside, Oldham and Newcastle, look the most likely to me to get to the final if anyone is going to break that dominance of Oldham and Newcastle.
Anyone else got anything to say?
No, I pretty much agree with that. Okay. Absolutely. I think Newcastle are going up.
Well, we should say the Newcastle game will be on our league from Kingston Park, Newcastle against Doncaster on Sunday afternoon. Not sure about Hunslet v Workington. I'd be surprised if that's not somewhere.
Well, it is somewhere in Hunslet.
Good. But broadcast good. Somewhere for those people who want to be able to watch it. Right, let's move on. And just a couple of matters arising as well from elsewhere in the world of rugby league. Just a mention for the shortlist for the Albert Goldthorpe Rookie of the Year. Lots of good players there.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the spread. It took ages to do that.
It's good. Very good.
Well, yeah, done, it looks brilliant, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely. So we've got Walker, Lorraine Smithies, Nalago, Newman, Wellesby and Lussick. Who's deserving? And remember, these are just kids. So
Morgan
Smith, let them down easy, will
let's
you?
Move on.
Yeah. Well, let's not just move on because Harry Newman's had an outstanding season, stepped into Colin Watkins' shoes brilliantly.
Lussick's been
Joey
good
Lussick's
this
been
well,
phenomenal.
Well, they've all been
that's
fantastic.
Why they're all on the shortlist.
Yeah. Morgan Smithies, let's move on.
Okay. Right. Just a quick mention as well for the news about the Manchester Lions / Swinton Lions. That was obviously brewing last week. Andy Mays has come out a lot more now explaining the plans. What do you think?
Yeah, if his reasoning is that the club was unsustainable in its current guise without taking the bold step to try and rebrand and get some new eyes, ears, sponsors into the club. So on that logic alone, you've got to back them, haven't you? I mean, I understand people who've been involved with Swinton for a long time that are disappointed to lose the Swinton name, but this is for the good of the club and it's for the good of the area. So I think, you know, from the times I've spoke with Andy Maisie and from what I've seen him do at Swinton on and off the field, they've been good on the field this year. I think you've got to trust the guy. I think you've got to back him because there are a lot worse club owners out there than Andy Maisie.
And as Aaron says, it'd be disappointing for the Swinton fans to lose that name, but if in 10 years' time they're a successful club, then I'm sure they won't begrudge it.
I'll say what I said last week. The only fear I have is that they don't have the resource to do it properly.
I mean, it's a big area that's not really well inversed in rugby league.
Not
weird.
At all.
It's
on the corridor. It's like
yeah, But it will be very hard to get across Manchester and get it done properly. But
is the problem there that it's just too football dominated? That's no. the problem with Sheffield.
No. Yeah, look what Salford City have done in Salford. It's a Manchester United stronghold. And
yeah, but it's football.
Yeah, but that's football. It's football,
it is football, but it's dominated by two big, massive football clubs. And most people can't afford to go to those games. So there is a...
They've got the same problem with Sheffield. Sheffield is dominated by two massive, including one massiver football club.
I always point to Manchester Storm ice hockey because the record attendance for ice hockey in Europe is set by the Manchester Storm.
But Sheffield Steelers are great.
Yeah.
They get far more than the Eagles do.
They do.
Far more.
They do. But that means that it's not necessarily a football dominated city, is it? Because you've got ice hockey there too. Mm-hmm.
So
your argument is moot.
My argument?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, if you could get 70,000 turning up for an ice hockey match in Manchester, that demonstrates it's not just about football.
Okay, so...
Not everyone in Manchester likes football as well.
So what's Rugby League's problem? Why can't they do it?
Because they've never had
exposure.
Yeah, and I just don't think there's ever been... You could sit here for hours and pick that apart, but ever been a clear plan?
I've got no proof of this, but there will be people sitting in their homes in Tameside who don't actually know where Swinton is. And that's one part.
Where's Tameside?
Exactly. And there'll be people.
Do you mean Teesside?
No, I mean Tameside.
I've never heard of it.
It's a borough in Greater Manchester.
All right.
It's on the east side of the conurbation, where Swinton's on the west.
Conurbation.
That's right.
That's right.
Speaking of, that's our talk about the Swinton Lions and TotalRL.com, the place to go for all the breaking news with regards to not just Swinton Lions, but every club in rugby league. A big good luck to Hammersmith, Hills Hoist and the London Chargers. They go head-to-head in the grand final of the Southern Conference this weekend. Just before we go, just a quick round the table about what's coming up in your exciting worlds, gentlemen. Firstly, back chat.
Damien Irvine, Mick Hogan and Ron Knox.
That's on Thursday on Free Sports?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. We obviously, nice preview of the relegation battle incoming.
Alex, NRL, what's coming up?
The finals. You mean the playoffs.
The finals.
Why do they call it the finals?
Because they're Australians and they try and change everything.
Aaron, British people have finals too.
No, Tim Sheens, when we were in the Super 8s, when Tim Sheens came over, he described the finishing in the top 8 as the semi-finals. Like, what does that even mean?
That's a proper Australian to middles. Oh, loads of people do, particularly Daryl Powell. He's a big middles fan.
Props.
Yeah, forwards.
And backs. Gun centre. What?
What's a gun centre? I've never even heard that before.
Centre holding an illegal firearm. What does that even mean?
No, what does it actually mean?
It means like a good centre. Good. So yeah, they just changed the word good for no reason.
Yeah, what's wrong with the word good? Or delightful?
I think what's wrong with say, or talented?
I think it sort of comes from...
Talented's a good word.
Being fired out of a gun, you're that quick.
Giddy
like,
up.
Like James Roberts, he'd be a gun centre because he's that quick, you fire him out of a gun.
So he's fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
But the good news is, for League Express readers, you cut through all that nonsense and just cover it properly. So win the playoffs.
Saya Fecky Watch continues this week in the NRL finals.
Yeah.
Castleford fans, Alex will have a comprehensive breakdown of every Sasaya Fecky performance.
Literally everything about his performance. We want to know exactly how he scored 2 tries last week.
Close to man of the match.
Yeah, Britton Nakora was too good. I couldn't quite swing that one in.
Well,
but, for Castleford fans, it's an incredibly exciting time.
But week one of the playoffs, who's playing?
Well, Cronulla, including Sasaya Fecky, are away at Manly, and Manly are. They've got injury problems. Tom Trbojevic isn't playing, and I think that is why Cronulla will win that game. It's the old system that we used to have with the top 4 play the qualifying finals and the bottom 4 play elimination finals. So Manly will Manly will drop out. Brisbane will drop out in that first round as well because they're playing Parramatta away. I think Brisbane's forward pack is one of the best in the division, but their backs let them down. So, keep an eye on Canberra. They're away at Melbourne. That's a tough one to start, but they're in the top 4, so they get another chance if they do lose.
Well, there we go. And Aaron, just before we go, The Observer and The Guardian this week, what's coming up in your world?
All the relegation
Rewrite
stuff.
Central.
Yes, lots of rewrites.
Walk us through what you're going to be doing here. This, you know, you're sitting there
in an empty
stadium.
Aaron will be banging the desk, tearing his hair out, hitting his laptop, the job lot. Aaron, when I can't say the word, when things go down, Aaron is a very animated individual. It's outstanding. It is outstanding.
Have you written your opening paragraphs at least?
No.
Okay.
It's great viewing.
Well, there we go.
I don't really think about it until maybe 20 minutes from the end.
I'm sorry
and then
to
I
have
just...
brought it up.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
That's it for this week's Total Rugby League show.
Can I give Aaron one credit? He is the quickest typer I've ever seen.
Well done, Aaron.
It's outrageous.
How many words per minute?
I don't know, about 200 maybe.
That's the end for the Total Rugby League show this week. A big good luck to everyone who's got something to play for this weekend. We hope you have fun. Big thank you to Aaron Barrow for joining us, Alex Davis and Matthew Shaw. Mm-hmm. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye.